We have been blessed the last several years to have Brother Zane Fisher with us, pastor of Temple Baptist Church in Mount Airy, and I know you're going to be blessed once again tonight. Brother Zane, God bless you, buddy. We're glad you're here. Thank God. Let's make welcome Brother Zane Fisher as he comes, pastor of Temple Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina.
Microphone.
Let's get that microphone. I apologize.
Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12 while Billy's chasing that down. I just found out tonight, I didn't know this, but I'll be going, be in that group that's going to Israel. And if you're going, I'm looking forward to being with you.
We're going to have a time. Praise God.
We are. Yeah. We're going to have a great time together. My father-in-law is Maurice Templeton, and he's been over there, I think, 92 times. I've got to go with him a couple of times. And man, he's told me some stories in the past, things that have happened with Maze Jackson and different people. One time he's on the bus, and of course they're always changing the rules when it comes to the areas you can go into. So there was a lady on the bus, and they told him when they come into Israel, they said, don't get your passport stamped. That time the Palestinians, if you had a passport with this Israeli stamp in it, you couldn't go into the Palestinian areas like Bethlehem and so forth. So this lady was sitting beside Maurice on the bus, and she said, I've got an Israeli stamp. Well, they can't just usher her off the bus with all those other buses there. So Maurice reached in his pocket, took a $100 bill and stuck it in her passport. And when that Palestinian card came through the bus with that AR, and he was walking through and they were handing passports, he opened it up, saw that Israeli stamp, saw that $100 bill, stuck the $100 bill in his pocket. Money works wherever, whatever country you're in, money works. And I appreciate the times I've got to go over there, but I'm really looking forward to being able to be with y'all in Israel. And I'm looking forward to having a great time on that trip. And then you can come up and see Billy preach at Monta Vista Camp Meeting. We'd love to have you come up in July and be with us. But it's always a joy to be here at Benson Grove. So many friends here, and I thank the church so much for your hospitality and your kindness. Brother Mac, it was wonderful to get to hear you preach. Appreciate that message this evening to start us off with, and I'm glad that you've had a good camp meeting so far, and I pray that God will give you exactly what you need. We'll spend a little time here in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. We'll talk about they overcame him. They overcame him. The Bible says in verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Love not their lives unto death. I'm glad that the Bible gives us understanding of the content of every scripture that you read. If you study it, you begin to find out. And one of the things that you need to know is, who is him? Who is it that they overcame, and who are they? Who are the them and who are the him in this verse? And the Bible tells us, of course, him is Satan, the devil, the dragon, the old serpent. It says that over there in verse 9. That's who they overcame. Well, I don't know about you, but I have trouble with him too. I have found as I walk through life, he kind of shows up every once in a while. So if they overcame him, I want to know what they did to overcome him. Who are they? Who are these people that had that power, that ability? Well, you'll find that they're born again Christians. That's who they are. Blood-washed saints that found themselves in a real battle, in a real warfare, and the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible is very specific about who our enemy is. And I want you to know, if you're fighting the preacher down the street, you're fighting the church down the street, you're fighting the Christian over the way, Satan loves that because you're not bothering him. But I want you to know, they're not the enemy. The church down the street and the preacher down the street and the Christian on the job, they're not the enemy. The Bible tells us, and we know we have an adversary. Peter's very clear about that. And we know that that adversary is the devil. Peter said that he walketh about as a roaring lion, and God gives us instruction on how to defeat him. And in these verses, we find ourselves with instruction. We find a way to overcome him. And I want to, as a Christian, live in an overcoming state. I do not want to be a victim of Satan. I want to know how to have victory over him. And he does want to devour some things in your life. If you're not careful, he'll devour your testimony. He'll devour your marriage. He'll devour your church. He'll devour your family. And I want you to know he has an appetite to come after Christians. We have a real enemy. We are going through a real warfare. We are experiencing a time when Satan is on the prowl, and it seems like his time is getting shorter and shorter. I'm telling you, when the lost world is shouting out and saying, we only got 10 more years left before this world is destroyed. When the lost world is saying that about climate change, the Christians ought to perk up their ears. I believe we're so close to the coming of Jesus Christ, the middle schoolers that are alive today will be a generation that will see the coming of Jesus Christ. I believe he can come back tonight. I believe he can come back at any time, but I believe we're that close that this 10-year thing they've been saying about climate change, it may not be the change they're thinking about, but there is a change coming. And I believe that Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, you and I are going to be out of this old world. We're going to be rid of slew foot, but for a little while, we're going to have to put up with him. And I want to help you tonight, maybe show you some things that will help you overcome him and find victory over Satan. The world tries its best to look into the Christian life. And I believe what they want to see are some Christians with some joy and with some peace. And they are looking for Christians who are established and stable and settled, not Christians that are up and down, but those that are walking in victory. That doesn't mean we're not going to have sorrow or suffering or have times when we are going through a battle, but through those battles, they want to see somebody who has something besides what the world sees as Christianity, besides what they see in false Christians and fake Christians. They want to see something real in the life of Christians, something that you can hang on to even in the darkest hours of your life, a peace that passes all understanding and a joy unspeakable. And I believe that if you'll walk with God, if you'll look at a few things here in the Word of God, that God has given us the ability to find some things to help us overcome him. If you're not careful, you walk in this world long enough, Satan will devour your vision, he'll devour your victory, he'll devour your vigilance, he'll do everything he can to overcome you and everything you're trying to do for the Lord. But I'm glad this verse says they overcame him. They overcame him. They overcame him. If they overcame him, I know who him is. I'm one of they. I want to see how I can be victorious over Satan instead of living as a victim because of Satan. Verse 8 says that there was a war going on. Verse 9 says there's a war going on. In verse 8, I love the beginning of that verse, and it says, and prevailed not. Satan and his angels prevailed not. You notice that? Do you see that? And they prevailed not. I got news for you about the devil. This is not the only time him and the Lord have gone at it. That's not the only time him and the Lord have had battles against one another. But I want you to know he's never prevailed. Not one time. He thought he had prevailed at Calvary, but I'm telling you, on the third day, he realized he lost the greatest war. Man's souls had been redeemed. The blood had been shed. Christ had walked out of the tomb, and you and I have power over sin, death, hell, and the grave through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He prevaileth not. I'd like to be able to say that in my life, wouldn't you? I'd like to say that he is battling and he is fighting. He's fighting down at the church house. He's fighting us in our marriages. He's fighting in our homes. He's fighting, trying to steal our kids. He's doing everything he can. But I'd like to walk out of church tonight saying, you know what? He prevaileth not. He's not overcoming. Instead, we're overcoming him by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. You can live one way or the other. You're going to live one way or the other. You're going to live as a victim of Satan, or you're going to live with victory over him. And I have seen some that have lived with victory, and I've seen some that have become victims. And I want to tell you, it's a whole lot better to live in victory. I don't know of anybody that ever started out anything planning on failing. Have you? No. Nobody ever starts college and says, you know what, I'm going to have the worst GPA this semester anybody in this college. I'm going to fail so bad, they'll kick me out at the end of the semester. None of y'all got married and looked at your wife at the altar and said, I'm going to make her the most miserable woman on the face of this earth. You may have done it, but you didn't plan on it. You didn't look at him, ladies, and say, I'm going to make him so miserable. He's going to hate life every day that he lives with me. That's not the way we start out in everything that we do, planning on succeeding, planning on prevailing, planning on overcoming. And I want you to know, when you got saved, you believed and thought that you had the ability to overcome and prevail. But if you're not careful along the way in your Christian walk, Satan will convince you you can't prevail, you cannot overcome. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not the word, what the Word of God says. We see Jesus as he's tempted there in the wilderness, and he is put on the same spot that we're put on. He's tempted like all men. He's going through the temptation, and it's not just the flesh, it's not just the world, but it's Satan himself who comes and tempts Jesus. And he says to Jesus, he said, if you'll bow and worship me, he said, I can give you power and I can give you glory and I can give you a kingdom. And you notice that Jesus didn't disagree with that. He didn't say, no, Satan, you don't have any power, because he knew Satan does have power. And he didn't say, no, Satan, you don't have any glory, because he knows that Satan does have glory. Satan's got a kingdom, and Satan's got power, and Satan's got glory. Jesus has a kingdom, and Jesus has power, and Jesus has glory. And you may be sitting here thinking, well, what's the difference? How are we going to overcome if one's got a kingdom, and one's got power, and one's got glory? Well, in Matthew, there's a little two-word difference in the kingdom of Jesus and the kingdom of Satan. The power, the glory, and the kingdom of Satan one day is going to end. But the Bible says that his power, Jesus' glory, Jesus' kingdom is forever and ever and ever. And I'm glad to know there is one that has defeated this dragon, that has defeated this old serpent. And you and I, if we follow his example, if we walk after what he teaches us, we can walk today until we get to heaven in victory and walk in power and overcome him, and Satan does not have to have reign over our life. Boy, I'm telling you, every one of us have had our battles. Every one of us since we got saved have had things we had to overcome. And I want you to know I've been living for the Lord now. I haven't always lived for the Lord, but I've been living for him for 30 years. And I can look back now and say I got a few victories behind me. I can honestly stand in this pulpit and tell you that you don't have to live as a victim. You don't have to go through life being overcome by the temptation of Satan or the habits of this whole world. But you can live. You can find yourself serving Christ. You're not going to be perfect. None of us are sinless. But boy, you can walk through life having some victories and seeing yourself overcome him time and time again. Boy, we need to learn to have some spiritual power in our life and a prayer life that has some victory. I know about prayer warriors. I know about prayer warfare. I know about prayer weapons. And I want you to know, Peter knew what he was talking about when he said to us to be sober, be vigilant. And then he said, whom resist? God's not going to tell you to do something you can't do. Peter said, whom you can resist, Satan. James even said that. If we resist the devil, I want you to know that you have the ability sitting here right now. You have the ability inside of you. You have the knowledge through the Word of God how to be an overcomer and how to defeat Satan. You can find yourself walking with God and knowing how to overcome Satan and live a Christian life that is not a life of enduring, but a life of enjoying. Not a life of victim, but a life of victory. You can know that tonight. I'm telling you, I'm glad that God has given us the instructions, and I'm not afraid to face tomorrow. I'm not afraid to face the future. And if you get to looking at the future of this world, if you get to listening to the news, it starts looking awful bleak. But I want to tell you something. This world is not going to prevail. Satan is not going to prevail. God has written down the last chapter. And in the last chapter, we win. We're on the winning side. I'm glad to know there's someone with me that has overcome him. And when it comes to my walk with Christ, I can overcome Satan. And they overcome him. And they overcome him. Let's look at somebody that battled with him in Luke chapter 22. And they overcome him. This is the story of a man that did not overcome at first. That could be the story of a lot of our lives. A lot of us didn't overcome at first. A lot of us have had failures in our Christian walk. And as Brother Max said, I'm glad that we serve a God of second chances, and for some of us, third chances and fourth chances. We didn't overcome the first time. It took us a little while. We were stubborn like Peter. And I'm glad that God will give you a second chance to serve Him and restore fellowship. There is someone that is alongside of us, and an elder brother that'll come alongside to help. When we lived in Maryland, we lived in the parsonage beside the church, and my dad was the music director. And Odell Stone had two sons named Joel and John. And we'd always play together there beside the parsonage in between the church and our dads would work. One day we got into a fight. Me and John and Joel, and John and Joel were both on top of me just whooping the tar out of me. Blood going everywhere. My nose was busted. And my older brother, Chuck, was watching that whole thing go on. Now, Chuck was very quiet. He wasn't excited like me. He's very quiet. But when Chuck got mad, you better watch out. I'm telling you, I've never seen anybody that could fight like Chuck. When he got mad, it was on. Chuck come after John and Joel as they were sitting on top of me, had his arms spread wide open. And I'm telling you, when the elder brother showed up, he took John and Joel both out, knocked them off of him. I jumped up and said, it's a good thing, man. I was getting ready to tear into them. Then I had all the courage in the world because my elder brother showed up. I got news for you. There's an elder brother that lives for you and walks with you. He said, I'll be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He told his disciples, I don't even speak to you as Lord, but I speak to you as friend. I'm glad I got a friend. As they sung just a moment ago, I got a friend in Jesus. Hallelujah. He's been a help to me. He's helped me overcome Satan time and time again. And as I stand before you tonight, we can see some things that God used in the life of Peter to help him to overcome. Things that'll help you overcome. Number one, look at Peter's declaration. Luke chapter 22 and verse 33. I like Peter's declaration. I like his zeal. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and unto death. You ever had Sundays like that? You ever had Wednesday? You ever had camp meetings like that? Boy, when service is over with and you've cried around the altar, you've jumped up and said, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to close this thing out with the Lord. I'm ready. I'm sold out for Him. I'll never quit. I'll never give up. I'll never give in. I'm never going back to the old ways. And you jump up, man, you're ready to go. You've made your declaration. That's what Peter's saying there. Lord, I'm ready to go to prison. If we got to go be jailbirds, I'll get in the jail with you. And if they kill you, we'll both go together. I'm ready to die for you, Lord. I'm ready to live for you. Peter's singing. I'm on the winning side. Peter's singing. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Boy, Peter's making his declaration and letting it be known that he's ready to serve the Lord. Now let me say, there's nothing wrong with that. When you make that type of declaration, you're making the right declaration. You ought to have some times in your life where you've committed yourself to the Lord or rededicated yourself to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with the declaration to say, I am ready to serve you, Lord. I'm ready to turn this over to you. I'm ready to commit my Sunday mornings and my Sunday nights and my Wednesday nights and camp meetings and revival services. I'm going to start going to church like I'm supposed to. It's okay to make that declaration, and it's right to make that declaration. And there are some Christians along the way that have made that declaration and they've never turned back. I've seen many of them that have come and cried their eyes out at the altar, either got saved or rededicated their life to the Lord. And when they got up off the altar, that was it. It was settled in their heart. They weren't going back. They were not turning around. That declaration is a good thing to have in your life. But we know old Peter didn't make it, don't we? We know that Peter was working in his flesh, in his pride here, not necessarily in the spirit. Peter in his big mouth was speaking without thinking. You ever done that? Oh, yeah. If you've been married any time, you've done that. If you don't believe me, just ask your spouse. We've all spoke before we thought, but Peter's declaration wasn't nothing wrong with it. He committed himself to the Lord and dedicated himself to the Lord to live for the Lord. It wasn't wrong for him to make that declaration. It's never wrong for you to make that declaration. Lord, I'm not giving in. I'm not falling to that temptation. This habit is gone. This hang-up is gone. Tonight, this camp meeting, it's the last time I'm dealing with it. I'm overcoming this. And I want to say, as a preacher of the gospel, there are some things that you can overcome and get victory over and turn away from, and it'll make a difference in your life. We see Peter's declaration, but then we see Satan's desire. Peter didn't understand the desire of Satan. Jesus tells him that Satan desired him. And I want you to know, Satan desires you. Satan desires your marriage. Satan desires your children. Satan desires this church. Satan desires the leaders of this church. Satan's desire is to thwart our efforts in serving the Lord any way that he can. Jesus said in verse 31, he told him, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Peter didn't understand Satan's desire. You do. You have a copy of the scriptures. You have been given the instructions of what he's up to. You have been given knowledge of how Satan works in this world. You do have knowledge of Satan's desires. You do know that something is coming. You do know that there is a plan that Satan has to thwart your efforts in serving the Lord. You do know that there's an enemy out there to overcome, and I'm glad that you and I can overcome him. This is what the Bible shows us. When Satan came after Job, he didn't come after the weakest man in the East. He wasn't coming after the one that was the sorriest gutter scum in the East. He was coming after the one that he could take down because it would take a bunch out with him. That's what he was doing with Peter. Peter was the big mouth. Peter was the bold one. Peter wasn't the silent one. Peter wasn't the quiet one. Satan knew that if he could get Peter, there was a good chance in just a few chapters that he'd have Peter and all of them out on the lake fishing. Take them all out of the ministry. Boy, if I can get Peter, I can get all of them. And I want to tell you this, you better believe that Satan's after your leaders. I realize this as a pastor, one of my greatest prayers is, God, please keep me clean. Amen and amen. I've seen a lot of them that were better than me. I've seen a lot of them that could preach better than me, pastor better than me, but along the way, Satan overcame them, and now they're not in the ministry. They're not preaching anymore. Satan overcame them, and I'm going to give you three things here in just a moment that they were not using in their life to overcome him. Satan has a desire for you tonight. I don't care what age you are. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. There's somebody watching your life. There's somebody looking on at your testimony. There's somebody looking at your seat in the church. There's somebody watching to see if you're going to give up, quit, go back to the world, fall back into bad habits, go back to the hang-ups. They're looking to see if you're going back to the hangouts of this world. There's somebody watching your life at work or at school. There's somebody that's taking notice of you and that you've called yourself a Christian. I started working at UPS when I was in college. I worked there in Charlotte on Graham Street. I loaded the brown trucks in the morning, early. You know, it's really hard to be a good Christian early in the morning. I'm just going to tell you. It was even harder. If you work at UPS, you'll understand this. It's even harder to be a good Christian at UPS early in the morning, but I'd rededicated my life to the Lord. I wasn't preaching in the break room. In fact, we didn't really get a break. We only worked from 3 or 4 in the morning until about 9 in the morning, and then I went to college. So we didn't really get a break. We had a 4 or 5 hour shift, and we ran as fast as we could go. I started at Christmas. There is no greater hell than UPS at Christmas. So I started working there, and I wasn't telling anybody. I wasn't preaching in the break room. We didn't have a break, so I wasn't bowing my head over my food. And Lonnie Tucker came up into the brown truck one day. And he says, I don't want to ask you a question. I said, sure, Lonnie. He said, I noticed something different about you. I didn't know what he meant. I thought he meant my clothes, my hair. What are you talking about? He said, I notice you don't cuss like the rest of these guys do. Boy, when he said that, the Holy Spirit started thumping me on the heart and said, you tell him why you don't cuss like the rest of these guys. And I said, Lonnie, I used to. I did. I know the words. I can say them. They're still there in my mind. I said, but Lonnie, a long time ago, God saved me. And those words are not pleasing to the Lord. Are you listening to me? There was no church there. There was no camp meeting. There was no crowd. It was just me working a job, just trying to serve the Lord, keep my mouth clean, work a job, finish college, get out of there without killing somebody every morning. Somebody was watching me. And they saw that there was something different about me. Though Satan has a desire for your life, I want you to know there greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And at any age, Satan is after us. But if you'll walk with God and live with God, talk with God, he can make a difference in your life. Wherever you live, whatever you do, wherever you work, people will notice that you're walking with him. We not only see Simon's declaration and Satan's desire, but we see the Savior's defense. I pastor a church. Things are going so smooth now, Billy, I'm scared. You pastors ever been in that place? Everything's running so good, I'm a little afraid that Satan's going to rear his head. Because he does. He liked to destroy a church. He liked to destroy unity. He would like to destroy anything that's going on for the will of God. But I know the Bible says that he is able to perform that good work. There's a good work that he has started in me. He has begun a good work and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There is somebody on my side that has defeated Satan over and over and over again, and he's on my side to help me be an overcomer. In fact, he said that I am more than a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. He calls us victorious. He calls us overcomers. Paul said, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. Amen. The Savior's defense. Verse 32. I like that little word, but, because we get ready to change direction. He said, Peter, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee. But I have prayed for thee. I love to hear people text me or send me a message on Twitter and say, we're praying for you. You're on my heart today. I'm praying for you. I love to have people pray for me. This ain't just nobody. This ain't just some preacher. This is not just some human being that's praying here. This is Jesus who said, but I have prayed for thee. I want you to know the way that you can overcome him, number one, is prayer. Amen. You may think, I've heard this before. Well, you're going to hear it again because it's Bible. Prayer. Jesus said, I have prayed for thee. I want you to know Jesus is praying for you. The Bible says he is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living, ever living to give intercession for me and for you. He's praying for you. When Satan comes after you, when Satan comes after your family, there is someone in heaven that has nail scars in his hands that is victorious over Satan that is praying for you. Prayer is a weapon that you and I have. Paul said that is not carnal. It's not fleshly. It's not supernatural. It is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. It is a God thing in prayer. Jesus said, Satan has some desires, but I have stood in a place of defense. Well, those of you that like sports and all that kind of stuff, when you're playing defense, isn't that what you do? You kind of get in the way of the enemy's goal. You kind of get in the way of what the enemy's, boy, Satan has desired some things of me, and I'm glad that Jesus has stepped in the way every once in a while, and he's prayed for me. Prayer does something in the spiritual realm that you and I cannot see. If you're going to overcome him, you must learn and live in the presence of prayer. Amen. Makes all the difference in the world. Amen. And it's not a small thing. It's not a weak thing. You want to go after somebody in your flesh? You want to fight Satan in your flesh? That's weak. You'll lose every time. You're no match for him. Boy, when we get on our knees, the Bible says that we're talking to the Father. Know what Jesus said when you pray? Start out, our Father. We're talking to the Father. The Holy Spirit is making unction in our hearts that cannot be heard. And you know who's on the right hand of the Father talking on our behalf? The whole Trinity is involved in your prayer life. This is why Jesus said that. It is one of the greatest weapons that Christians have access to overcome Him. It's prayer. Number two, when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, He used the book. Wasn't just prayer, He used the book. Jesus could have supernaturally destroyed or hurt Satan, but He didn't. He used what we have. And the reason He used what we have is in 2019, that's all you have. I don't have Him here walking on the water. I can't bring Him into Temple Baptist Church to heal the withered hand or to touch the blinded eyes or to raise the dead. Wouldn't it be a great miracle to see here at Benson Grove on Sunday morning? Jesus is coming this morning, going to be at Benson Grove. He's going to be healing the sick and raising the dead. That'd be great, but we don't have that today. What we have is prayer, the most powerful weapon that you'll have, in the book, the most powerful weapon that you'll have. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. This is why Jesus used the Scriptures. It's what you have to defeat Him with. It's what you have to overcome Him with. There is no excuse for you not having an overcoming spirit inside of you. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. I'm not saying everything's going to go your way. I'm telling you, when you're in the book, it makes all the difference in the world. Remember I talked about some fellas that came before me, better preachers than me, better pastors than me. And I've seen them one right after the other. Not all of them. I can name 100 for every one that's failed. I can name 100 that are still walking with Him. Amen. Their marriages are still together. Their churches are still together. But I can promise you every one of those men that have fallen along the way put down their daily Bible reading and their daily prayer time. You cannot meet with Him every day without Him dealing with your sin or a closed heart. I can't. They overcame Him. How'd they overcome Him? They overcome Him with prayer. They overcome Him with the book. No supernatural ability there. Jesus just used what we have. And they overcame Him with the blood of the Lamb. They overcame Him with the blood of the Lamb. There is nothing more powerful in God's arsenal than prayer, the Scriptures, and the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God that that holy, pure, righteous blood was shed on Calvary. And now you and I have access to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood that makes us clean. It's the blood that makes us whole. It's the blood that allows us access to the throne. We are in the blood, covered by the blood, and can plead the blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. You want to overcome Him tonight? Begin a daily prayer life with Him. Begin to dig in this book with Him. Amen. And plead the blood over the circumstances that you're going through. Amen. This is why these things are mentioned in the darkest hours of Christians' lives in the Bible. This is why these things are mentioned in Jesus' darkest temptation and Peter's most crucial hour, and then in Revelation. This is why these things are mentioned. These are the three things that all the church has had through all the centuries and still has today. There's nothing we need greater than prayer, the book, and the blood. So many times we're looking for something in a meeting or in a song on a supernatural act of God. We're looking to overcome Satan by some new book or some new study. Boy, if I can get this CD, or if I can get this study series, or I'm going to tell you, the only way you'll learn to overcome Satan is a close daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will work. I know what I'm talking about. I had a lot to overcome. I've lived with Him and served Him now for 30 years, tried to do that faithfully, and I am not perfect. You can ask my wife. I'm not always right. You can ask my daughters. There are times I wanted to quit and fail, leave, and give up. But tonight at this altar, you can lay down your habits and your heartaches and your hurts. So I'm telling you, along the way, Satan will break your heart. Along the way, you're going to get hurt. People say, I got hurt in church. Welcome to the club. Thank you for coming. Church hurt is worse than any other hurt. No, it's not. Hurt's hurt. Whether you're hurt on the job or hurt in your marriage or hurt by your children, hurt's hurt. I don't care if it happens at church or not. But I know somebody that can take some nail-scarred hands and heal some church hurt. And you can go on and get out of that anger and that bitterness. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Guys, would you come back and sing that faithful friend? I'm not trying to take over, Billy, but I can't think of anything greater than you finding yourself battling Satan with a faithful friend. You can't fight him by yourself. You'll not overcome trying to do it in your flesh. Pastor, you'll not overcome by just coming up with something new. Boy, if you'll let Jesus take place in your daily walk, you can take that area that you need to overcome. We've all got them. If you're sitting here and human and breathing, there's an area of your life that could be better tonight, and you know it. Or there's an area of your life that needs to change. They overcame him. It may not be tonight that you have some big area to overcome, but you know somebody that needs to overcome what they're going through. I've got family that is battling some great issues. Church members that are battling some very difficult things that if God doesn't move, work a miracle, it's not going to change. I pray that God will help them overcome. That they would do it through the weapons of our warfare. What Christians have had since Jesus rose again, prayer, the scriptures, and the blood. And it'll work. It will work. You stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. People have gathered around the altar. Come pray for that son or daughter that's out of church. Come pray for that loved one whose marriage has fallen apart. Come pray for that friend that has a hang-up that they just seem to fall back into. Every time things go bad, they're right back into that habit. They're right back into that hang-up. And fellas, come on, sing that song. Jesus is a faithful friend. He said to Peter, but I have prayed for thee. And they overcame him. If they can do it in Revelation, you can do it right now in 2019. Come on, Billy, close out this invitation. No greater friend than Jesus. If he knew what Satan was going to throw at Peter, he knows what Satan's throwing at you. Come on.
Your heart has ever known.
And they overcame him.
When you're standing in your darkest trial,
tired of being defeated.
You're standing
alone. I'm tired of being troubled. I'm tired of being discouraged. I'm tired of being depressed. Come on, right now. Come on.
The sun will never shine.
I'm tired of our marriage fighting, our home fighting. Come on. God will help you overcome that.
In the midst of
disappointment. Come on. And they overcame him.